So welcome. I know so many of you. I see some new faces. So we're going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then we'll discuss the philosophy a little bit. And then if any of you have any questions at the end, we can try to answer. So this is the second chapter of the Gita. Text 59, the chapter entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. So the translation, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna speaking. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense object remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness. Purport. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc. is recommended for the less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for the pale things. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Devamrita Swamini Tinamane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this human form of life is very precious opportunity given to the soul. It's like being enrolled in a university. Many of you here, I can see your students. You can relate to this example. When you're enrolled in a university, it's okay sometimes to have a break or have a vacation or recreation. But if you're playing all the time, I used to do like that. If we are playing all the time and very seldom we attend classes or we read the books, that means we miss the point of, this opportunity to graduate from a school. So similarly, life is also a very precious opportunity for the soul to transcend this world of matter, this world of birth and death. But if we don't understand this basic point, then we have all kinds of illusions about what's the point of life, and then we squander it. It's like my mom called me recently, and I asked her if everything is okay, because she called late night for me. She always forgets. I'm 12 hours difference. And then she said, such and such passed away. It's one of our family friends in the neighborhood. He just passed away, and was kind of shocking, even with in all this philosophy, we know that, you know, whoever is come, whoever is taking birth, when people take birth, we don't lament. But when they die, you know, what should we? You know? So this such and such person passed away. It was kind of shocking. And my mom was describing the whole situation. It was like a very close friend. So my mom is saying how, you know, life has very little value these days, and how the family, you know, they were like, you know, they removed the body from the home. At least we used to say this, you know, all we need is like 6 foot of land when somebody dies and stuff like that. Nowadays, it's just like you're taken to some electric chamber, and then you're like burnt to ashes, and then they give you the ashes, you know, and have that 6 foot of land people used to talk about. Family was like arguing over so many petty things, like namely property and this and that. I'm disturbed about this situation. And the amazing thing is, just, you know, last month, my mom actually went to this holy place, very holy, Mayapur. It's a place of pilgrimage for Krishna devotees. And she actually took this person who just passed away. And my mom invited him and his wife to go with her to this place of pilgrimage. And he was actually saying, oh, you know what, I can't go now. And my mom said, why can't you go? And this person said, oh, my son is coming from Europe. And I haven't seen him in 3 years, and, you know, I got to make preparations to receive him. But my mom kind of insisted that, you know, the couple go with her to this pilgrimage. And finally they did. They went to Mayapur and they had good time, you know, bathing in Ganges and experiencing the holy place. And they bought japa beads and, you know, Bhagavad Gita and all this. And then they came back. And then, you know, just recently he passed away. But it's amazing for that person who passed away, he was not thinking that it's important for him to do anything towards the soul, because he is thinking like, you know, I have a long time ahead. I'm in my late 40s. I'm making like a lot of nice plans in life, and a lot of good times are awaiting. You know, spirituality is for like old people or people that doesn't have much to do, and so on and so forth. But, you know, he passed away to our shock, and I'm sure he was, you know, surprised as well when he had that stroke. So this is the situation. And this we hear all the time. It's not like a rare thing. I'm sure if I asked you, every one of you in the room, you had similar experience of, you know, this kind of reality. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that mama maya duratyaya. Krishna, when we talk about Krishna, we're referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is a name for God in Sanskrit. So Krishna has three main energies. One is spiritual, one is material, and one is marginal. So we spirit souls are actually Krishna's marginal energy, and Krishna has his internal potency. That's the spiritual world, or in biblical terms we call it the heavens. And Krishna is talking about this material energy, and somehow or other, we spiritual being, we have made it to this material side of Krishna's creation. And here we are, you know, embedded in matter, And we bewildered, we confused. We have no clue what is this material existence and why there are problems. You don't have to be a self-realized soul to realize there are problems in this world. You just have to log into some news channel and it's filled with problems. And if you read the history book, it's full of like wars and abuses and diseases, and it's filled with these things. But somehow or other, we have this hope that things will get better, so we're pushing on. Prahlad Maharaj, one five-year-old boy, transcendentalist, he called it Punar Puna Charvita Charvanana. It's the same old thing. We're repeatedly chewing the chewed. Sometimes we're chewing a gum, it loses flavor. But we just keep chewing anyways because we got nothing better. Charvita Charvananam. So we're just going on with this kind of lifestyle. But the problem is, when you're put in a maze, you don't know where is the entrance, where is the exit. You're completely bewildered. We need help from outside or from above. It's like me and Omkar, we went camping. We were supposed to go to this lake, which was like 10 minutes away from our camp. But then we were almost trying to call the ambulance and 911, because after 12 hours, we still like don't know where we are. And we didn't have any water or any food, and it was getting cold and dark, and it was quite an experience. So this world is like that. It's like a maze. And we are like hostages of this material energy. In 2008, there was this famous terrorist attack in this big city of India, Mumbai. It was a big thing, like so many innocent people were killed and injured, and the families were like devastated. And, these innocent people, civilians, were taken hostage by the terrorists. And the terrorists had like, fully armed with like grenades and, atomic guns and so on and so forth. But the civilians, they didn't expect that all of a sudden in this really famous hotel where you're having a holiday, there was a girl actually very sad. She was like a 26-year-old girl from Singapore, lawyer, Chinese girl, very nice looking, rich. She was proud to be in this really famous hotel, and this terrorist walked by and they were shooting like indiscriminately, like whoever they saw. Anyone, everyone. So these civilians, they were like taken hostage by the terrorists. They couldn't help themselves. They need these special forces come in helicopter with the guns, and they had to rescue the people, the innocent people, and kill the terrorists. Similarly, the Vedic teachings explain that the spirit soul, which is us, many times people say like, I have a soul. But it's actually, we are the soul and we have a body. The soul is within the body. So the spirit soul, originally it's so pure, just like a pure rain water, but when it touches the mud, the water becomes muddy. Similarly, the pure spirit soul, when it contacts the material energy, it's taken hostage by the material energy, and the terrorists are mentioned actually in the Vedic literatures. They're called the lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, pride. We can all catch ourselves having these things, having these qualities. But as long as we have these qualities and we are like slave of these qualities, a slave is never happy, as we all know. It's never independent. He's being whipped, he's being told, he's bought, he's sold, So the soul is never happy as long as he's under the influence of these terrorists of material energy. It's not possible. It's just like imagine, picture these people, innocent people, they've like, you know, they've been like taken control of by the terrorists, and imagine they're trying to enjoy in that situation. Is that possible? It's just full of anxiety. You don't know what's going to happen next moment. By the way, we're not against happiness in Krishna consciousness. We are all for happiness. But we just encourage everyone to look for happiness in the right place. It's just like if you were to look for water in the desert, if somebody tells you go to the lake, it's not mean like he's being negative, he just cares for you and he wants to save your energy. So we, spirit souls, under the influence of material energy, we're trying to be free, we're trying to be happy, we're trying to enjoy, we're trying to be creative, so on and so forth. But it's not possible. We need help. We all need help. We may not admit it, but we are taking help all the time. We take taking guidance from the musicians, we take guidance from the counselors. So many, but because a human being is imperfect, the guidance we get is also imperfect. But the Vedic teachings, these ancient writings of India, are flawless, handed down in disciplic succession, all the way coming from Krishna himself. And they are actually the special forces that's coming down to help. They're the commandos, these books and the spiritual minded people that you find here. So by seeing the world through these scriptures, we can actually see what's going on. We can immediately understand our situation in this world. It's amazing. Because you can, everybody's wondering why, you know, there's so many whys, there's so many magazines and books and libraries are full of books. What are the problems and how to deal with the problems? But the problem is, like Prahlad Maharaj says, the solution, material solution to a problem becomes more problematic than the original problem. So there's so many volumes of books written, but this one book spoken by Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, can actually solve all the problems and can actually give us the vision of what is our nature and what's our surrounding. Just like if you buy a washing machine, it comes with a manual how to operate it. You know, which button to press, what does what, you know. Similarly, Krishna has given the manual, the Bhagavad Gita, to help us to live in this world in a peaceful way, in a happy way, and also how to transcend this world. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, him being the creator, he explains the nature of this world. Not everything is created. This world we are here, it's in Sanskrit, Krishna says, Dukkhalayam asasvatam. Dukkhalayam means it's filled with miseries and ashashvatam. You may say, oh, even if it's miserable, that's okay. Just let me live. But unfortunately, it says asasvatam. It's also temporary. We cannot stay no matter who we are. It's a reality. It's not a religion. We're just discussing the realities we see all around us. So Krishna says that this world we're in, it's temporary and miserable. Just understanding this fact is going to save us from so much trouble, because seeing the enemies have the battle, we can prepare ourselves how to transcend. It's like once somebody was asking our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, is the deity form there. Somebody was asking, why there are wars sometimes? And Prabhupada said, no, you should ask why it appears to be peace in this world sometimes. Because this is the world of war. This material world, especially this age, is called Kali Yuga, which means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Any moment over drop of a hat, immediately people are ready to fight. That's called Kali Yuga. So these things we are discussing, these things we are discussing, but you may wonder, like, why I'm not being told this anywhere else? We are not told of these things we are discussing because Maya, the illusory potency of Krishna, the illusory potency's business is not to educate us. It's actually there to cover us. It's actually to bewilder us. That's the position. It's like the Matrix. Living in the city, you know, you park the car, you just pay like $13 for a wax, polish, clean, and then you park. Next day it's covered with like smog and dirt. Similarly, the soul, being in the material energy, it's always getting covered over from the realities of, you know, what's the purpose. And it's also called in Sanskrit, adi atmika, adi bhautika, adi daivika. These are the threefold miseries. There are kinds of miseries comes from our own body and mind. There are miseries that comes from other living entities. You know, you could be having a great day and somebody just like even looks at you in a wrong way. You know, you feel like so broken hearted and emotionally hurt. And there are disturbance from natural disasters. Nowadays we have experience of that so much. Earthquake, tsunami. So these are the threefold miseries. Those of you that are familiar with the Vedas, Prabhupada calls it the Trishul of Durga. Because we're trying to enjoy Durga, and Durga is saying, I'm already married to Lord Shiva, don't try to enjoy me. So she's poking us with the trident, go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna. So Prabhupada explained the threefold miseries. And the thing is, doesn't matter whether we are devotees or not devotees, the world is not going to change for us. We think, like when you read the history, you know, the wars in Europe and problems in America and, you know, the wars in India. And we think it's like only for people like, you know, that are not spiritual. But if you read the Vedas, even people that were completely devoted to Krishna 100%, they were also severely tested. Like the Pandavas in Mahabharata, and you know, you read the Ramayana, you read any of the Vedic literature, all great devotees, Haridas, Thakur, Ambarish Maharaj, you name it, every single one of them didn't have like, you know, peaches and cream because they were chanting japa and they made it to heaven like so peacefully. No, there were problems. But the beauty is, they were not foolishly thinking that this place is for enjoyment and then they were surprised. No, they were great yogis. A yogi is the one who knows how to transcend this world of suffering. That's the art Bhagavad Gita is teaching. How, like Christ said, how to be in this world but not of this world. But the science and technique is given so clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. How to be active in this world, but not, you know, be affected by this world. That's the science Bhagavad Gita is teaching. It's like we recently celebrated this appearance day of Narsingadev, the painting here, half lion, half human, and you see a little child trying to garland him. And this little boy was only 5 years old. And Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was so pleased with him. He appeared in front of him. And, you know, Krishna is trying to give him whatever he desired. Any benediction he so wanted. But Prahlad was telling Krishna that, I saw my father, Hiranyakashipu. This Prahlad, this boy's father, was the greatest materialist you can find. His name was Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold and Kashipu means soft bed. So his name lets you know what he was all about. And Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad said, had everything. But still, his ending was not so good. You see him on the lap of Narsingadev. So Prahlad said, what's the use of such benedictions? Prahlad said, I don't want it. It's useless. no matter how successful we are in the material world, it's just irrelevant to the soul. It's so foreign to the soul. It's not going to give us any happiness. So Prahlad said, no, thank you. And he didn't say, oh, Narsingadev, you know, I'm so great. I'm such a sadhu, I'm so renounced, you know, don't give me this small time stuff, you know, I'm too big for this. No, he was saying, please don't tempt me, because I come from such an atheistic background. And my father was the biggest materialist, so I'm afraid all the benedictions you're offering me is going to be an impediment for me to grow spiritually. You take any world religion, the goal is, if God is pleased with you, that means you should have a nice Mercedes Benz and a house in Malibu, and you should look good and you should have no diseases, and you know, all the list goes on. But Prahlad considered any benediction the Supreme is ready to give him immediately. He said, please, these things are impediments for me to grow spiritually. So don't tempt me. And he was also so humble. He didn't consider himself to be so great. So Prabhupada used to say that his concern for his devotees, disciples and grand disciples, is that we're not afraid of this illusory energy enough. Even such great personalities, saints and sages, they were always protected because they were praying all the time to be protected from the illusory energy. So this is the message of the Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's very, very urgent. It's not like one of those yoga schools you go to, you know, where they take you like big fees and give you some mantra which is supposed to be secret, and then they tell you like everything is fine. You know, go for walks in the beaches and take a deep breath, you know. Eat only organic meat or eggs, free-range eggs. Don't be like so cruel. And have sex because it's good for the psychology. So many things. Art of living. But Bhagavad Gita is not like beating around the bush, because it's really concerned with our soul. It's really concerned. It's like if somebody is walking backwards on a, you know, fifth floor, the roof of a big building, flying his kite. And then you see that in a few seconds, what's going to happen to that person? You're not going to like, hi, you know, my name is such and such, you're so special. No, you're going to scream because he's going to fall any moment and break his neck. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita is the message is very urgent. Because the spirit soul is given a certain amount of time in this body. How much do people live these days? 50 years? 60 years? And if we understand this message, then we can actually achieve perfection within the short duration of life. Of namely transcending this material laws. And we can attain Krishna's planet. It's a very important message. All the things we're discussing, it's not even like, you know, PhD or anything. We're just talking like ABCs of spiritual life. Without having a foundation, even if you have like a 50-story building, even a wind can knock it down. So the things we are discussing, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. People don't have any clue of the things we're talking about. It's unfortunate. But we're not trying to be negative. We're just trying to inspire each other. This world desperately needs this knowledge. This is actually an alternative to all the craziness that's happening outside in the name of, you know, being positive, being inspirational, being this, being that. So this is reality. And we can achieve perfection of human form of life just by reading this Bhagavad Gita. Even if you read it once, cover to cover, your life will never be the same. Because it gives you so much strength. It's like one student was telling me like how he has no time to read the book. I was explaining how he thinks it's like a burden. Oh, you know, who wants to read a book that's connected to like, you know, some religion or God, who knows what it is, you know. So he feels like a burden. But I was telling him, it's not a burden, it's like a party. You know, we all want to be happy and we all want to help others. But the thing is, we exactly don't know the formula. We don't know the formula. So by reading these books, it's so relevant to the soul and it gives so much pleasure and it gives the understanding of how to find happiness. So you cannot put it down once you start reading. Even a personality like Gandhi had so much time to read this book every day. That's how he got freedom for India without fighting. He got so much strength and he had time. What to speak of us? We say we don't have time. We have to make time because it's very important. It's not a detail. It's a crucial thing. Very important. And it's only good for us. It's a very special book. So just like the commandos that came and rescued all the hostages, we, you know, trying to give this book to people and trying to free them from the clutches of illusory potency of Krishna. These books are so important. The more of these books go out, the more there'll be peace on earth. There'll be more, you know, truthfulness and morality in the world. So it's very important that every one of us in the room here, we can make so much difference in the world if we took it seriously. If we just read this one book and then we can share it with others, whoever we meet. You know, everybody is like bewildered and confused these days. Because all our hopes and dreams are based on economy, right? Nothing else. But a cucumber is going to cost $10 very soon, just for one. So what kind of happiness can you find in such economy? It's useless. But this book tells us how to be happy without any of these things from outside. How to find happiness from within. So we are distributing these books by hundreds and thousands. So please take home some books with you. We have a nice table outside, a book table. You can take some books with you. Or you can sponsor some books so we can distribute them on your behalf to people that we meet on daily basis who is looking for an alternative. You can do either one of them. That'll be a great favor. So I'll stop here. Any of you have a question or comment, anything that was not clear? We can... Pablo, you said you had a question? Okay. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.